What's good, internet, and welcome to session 74 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I am your guide to the Horde this week, Alex Arona. Or as we say in Azeroth, Loktar Ogar. Yeah, I know that one. And with me, as always, is Lobby Adventurer Joel DeWitt. What's good, Joel?
Who are you calling a Lobby? I rated BT a lot, you scrub. Also, Zub Zub.
Nice. Reinstall and let's settle this. But first, our other co-host, Eric Getty Gettinger. You used to have sick heals, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was all shield-based damage mitigation. That's how I did it.
And that's why you weren't allowed to raid for us.
Yeah.
Yep. With going along with that, we also raided a bunch of betas this week. We also have some Nintendo Direct news, then have some dessert in the backlog blog. But first, early adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games to help the word. Is it to help the word get out?
Help
exciting IPs.
Help new- get the word out about exciting IPs.
There we go.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Would botch again.
We're grading on a curve this week. It's okay.
It's all going downhill from here. And I have not been drinking.
We should start. Okay. Yes, when's our next better. Drunk episode?
It would have been
flint. Whenever. Whenever you want it to be, buddy.
Okay, so I just kind of wanted to take a look here. We had worked, in this case, we were working with a group called Gameheads. Gameheads is game devs and tech for low-income youth, youth of color, and just developers who are building these games that are a little bit more outward facing, kind of for everybody, all inclusive. And because of that, we received 3 beta tests to kind of go over. We each took one, bring it to the table and see what we thought. Getty, you're going to start us off. You played Trigger.
Trigger or Trigger?
I thought Trigger.
Try?
It could be either. Right?
There's a hyphen there. So I read that Trigger.
Yeah, I definitely think it's Trigger. So this one, do you just want me to jump straight into it?
Yes, please.
Did you play it at all, Alex, or did you take a look at it? Or you guys want me just to go, like, straight in?
I played all of these.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yes. So the best way that I would describe this is, like, Galaga.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, back in the day, flying your spaceship around and you're shooting. But the really cool thing about this is that you can shoot different colors. So, if I remember correctly, you get red, blue, and green, and then there's also a bomb that you can drop that's yellow. But the ships that are flying at you, they're also different colors, and they correspond to the different colors that you can shoot. All the while, there's some really catchy music in the background. It's a very... you know, I'm not really great with describing the music, but what is it would probably be considered like EDM, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Is it is it poppy or and less like hard beats, or what are we going with this? Give me a description.
Music. Like I said, like when it comes to the music, unless it's like something really instrumental, either like dig it a lot or a little bit less, but I was definitely digging this. But I want to say it was more. It didn't seem very poppy.
More like chill wave, right?
Chill, yeah, that could be it.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was more like chill wave.
Yeah, but the flying mechanic, you could go pretty far up the screen, but you couldn't go all the way up the screen. So there were a couple of times when I'd get swarmed by a bunch of the different bad guys because they weren't just like straight shot guys. There would be other ones that would zigzag, and then there would be bombs that would drop and hit and tick out an area, damaging everything in there. But as far as I could tell, when you were shooting, it was very beneficial to hit the enemies of the same color with your shot because they would die quicker. Now, it wasn't like a one-shot instant kill, but it would still benefit you better to coordinate it.
The thing that stood out for me was the colors, and while I know that's the mechanic of changing your shots and avoiding certain other enemies or certain barriers because of color, it's more about the fact that those colors stood out. They were bright, they popped, and it drew a lot of attention to me seeing all of the colors mixing together, moving around. It actually got a little intense the further you got, so I started, like, my eyes started kind of blurring. I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough for this, but yeah.
Well, luckily you're not colorblind. Otherwise, it would provide even more of a challenge to play.
Yes. Yeah, I could see that. There might be ways to highlight the enemies, give it a little bit more of a differentiation, you know, bold some, give a little streaks to others. I could see there being ways to hit those other markets of colorblindness. You know, right now there is a big focus on accessibility and bringing those options to games. I know The Last of Us 2 did a pretty good job of bringing the accessibility options there, so I feel like you could do it with Trigger as well.
I always wonder if, like, there to be something implemented from a console level, right? Like some sort of filter that they could have, like a colorblind filter setting that would just, like, add a hue to a different parts of the game based on what color it actually is versus what, say, like a red-green colorblind person might be able to perceive.
There are. I want to say that there are, but I don't know how accessible it is from game to game. I'm pretty sure that you have to add it in order for it to work. But you're talking about a console, like every game would be able to use it, right?
Right. Something system level, like you would go into the menu settings of an Xbox or a PlayStation and select like colorblind mode or something like that.
Yeah, that's a little bit tougher.
But in this case, back to Trigger, as fast paced moving and keeping, like, you know, the Galaga kind of theme is a simple, Galaga obviously is kind of a simpler game, but adding these color switching mechanics and having different buttons shoot different colors adds another level of difficulty and takes a normal game like Galaga and then flips it on its head to now it's more of a puzzle game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
So Trigger was an interesting idea, and I thought it had a lot coming for it. So that was Trigger. Next, Joel, you had Serpent Showdown.
So there are three constants in life: death, taxes, and Alex making me play Snake games.
I was going to say Joel not playing games, but that works too.
Well, that's more true than it should be lately. You would think with all this time we have that I would maybe try to pursue some leisurely activity, but my internal engine wants to go into overdrive anymore and work on self-improvement, probably out of some underlying fear of something. I don't know. But anyway, I think Serpent Showdown is an interesting one in that it is in the same vein of, like,
say Snakey Bus.
Nah, no. Only in name only. it's a deathmatch game. So, like, it is at least the beta that we got was a two snake deathmatch. But it's in the same vein of a lot of these more recent type of ones where you select your character and then there's, like, different types of snakes with, like, different color palettes, and then you pick armor types and, like, customize it. So your individual snakey character has their own outfit that you get to choose, and it to be, like, some might be like a Trojan warrior, others might be like just more of a really, like, basic, like, shabby looking dude.
Do the cosmetics have anything to do with the abilities that your snakey men can do?
Good question.
No, sir. No, absolutely not. At least not right now.
It's just cosmetic, okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you think about the trend of indies that are all about the multiplayer stuff, like, that is something that they're all doing now. And
any other games come to mind?
Overcooked. Dane Beasts.
Moving out.
Keep going.
Moving
out. Nope. I'm looking for one in particular. We played it in our Tournament of Power. Steve wanted to keep going because we kept unlocking outfits.
God.
Nope, we're moving on from this one. So tell me about Serpent Showdown.
So one thing I found was that I understand it's a beta, but I had trouble getting to the actual meat of the deathmatch itself. Because the menu interface was a little tough. But once you get to the actual game itself, they put you through a tutorial, mm-hmm. and it is very incremental, step-by-step stuff. But basically, you're in a circle. It's like a table, and you're in a kid's room, and your snakes are fighting each other with crayons. Mm-hmm. So it's very kid-friendly sort of environment stuff. And there's my clock.
Yeah.
And then there's also these different move sets. So like you'll have a strafe that you can do. You can, of course, attack. There's a block. And then there's also these little wads of paper that'll show up. And you can pick up the paper and aim and shoot it at your enemy. Mm-hmm. And if you hit them, it'll stun them. And then you can basically go in for the kill, right? And it's three hits to win a round. So, like, you'll start your snake character with the full body of armor. You get hit the first time, your snake loses its hat. The second time, he loses his chest plate, and then he's just the snake with the crayon. And then the third time, it's game over.
Okay. What are you hitting what are you hitting each other with? Do these snakes crayons. Have arms?
He said crayons.
Crayons.
Okay.
I mean, like, there's no... I think it's, like, the end of the tail wrapping around. Because, like, one of the things that I'm not sure I love is the movement is very kind of plodding and slow, except for that strafe move that acts like a more quicker thing. And it's not like Dane Beast where it's a consistent, like, it's slow, but it's a consistent speed of slow. Mm-hmm. It's more like a sort of slow, like, bounce along. And it doesn't quite feel great to me. But my son loved it. He kicked my butt pretty badly all night while we were playing. And I think this falls in the vein of those Dane Beast type games, those silly multiplayer games where you're just trying to get a simple quick match in with buddies and pass a controller around and have that little kind of mayhem going around of trying to best each other in a sort of like jank way.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a fun party idea. You know, me and Steve were playing Lunchapalooza and that kind of game where you just pass the controller around, play a couple matches, hanging out. Serpent Showdown.
It's something that I think could go into a rotation of party games. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Cue it up.
Next, I played a game called The Grounds with a Z.
With a Z.
The Grounds is dodgeball. It is dodgeball rules in a dodgeball game, angle top, almost top down, you know, kind of at an angle. And it's kind of simple. You could tell that this is really early, it's like a concept design almost, where you're trying to give a proof of concept, seeing what works and what doesn't. And it kind of made me think that do we have dodgeball games? Like, do we have one currently?
Yeah, Joel played one, like, 6 months ago.
But that was different.
That was a rhythm game. Like, that
was a rhythm game.
That was an anime rhythm game. So, like, if we're talking about something where people aren't going Super Saiyan, no. I can't think of a legit just straight dodgeball game right now.
And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that it reminds me, like, of the idea we have games like Windjammers, right?
Right.
But why not just take Windjammers and give it dodgeball, you know, give it a dodgeball aesthetic, make it a gym class, you know, give it a bunch of different people, have people on the sidelines, and all of a sudden now you can swap people in, swap people out. Who doesn't love the movie Dodgeball?
You know, dodgeball is kind of like volleyball in that they're both the kind of sport or you know, activity that I feel like we haven't quite hit the perfect execution of the idea, right? Like there's soccer games that are pretty good, and sometimes even if they're not like straight sim games, there are games that take the theme of soccer and then integrate with other like RPG element type stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder how you'd be able to do that with a dodgeball.
The reason why I kind of went that route is because Grounds is dodgeball, and it's a gym class, and it just it's a little bit more slower and plotting, but the overall mechanics and gameplay just reminded me of like Windjammers in a really like good way. And while this is more of a proof of concept, seeing this developed into a game that is a little bit more fast-paced, you give a couple specials, you give bumps, catches, different moves, right? You know, give different characters different stats, different countries, give it more representation. You have, in my mind, a game like Windjammers that could be a commercial success. So with Grounds, that's where it kind of came to me as you are two characters at an angle. You run to the center, you grab your ball. If you power it up, you can do a ricochet shot, or you can just shoot straight. If someone throws the ball at you, you can catch it with a timed button press, and you're just playing dodgeball. It's great.
I sort of wonder sometimes if these games, and I mean, it sounds like there's a lot more developed into the actual gameplay itself, as you described it, but I wonder sometimes if it would benefit the game from a commercial standpoint if they tried to take a California Games style approach, right, where it's like a 5 or 6 game mini game collection, mm-hmm. and then it's 5 or 6 fairly robust, fairly well-developed versions of sports like that.
Be a good starting point.
That could work. Though I do again see the Grounds as something that has a lot of promise, and in this case it's a little slower than I would like, and that's the one thing that I would critique it as. It's a little bit more plotting when I'd want a little bit more fast paced movement, but as a proof of concept it sold me on the idea, and it popped into my head. Yeah, why don't we have a dodgeball game? And I guess in this case, in our day and age, we're trying to move away from games that may cause, you know, people like to get hurt. Because dodgeball was notorious for that idea in gym class. Everyone got hurt playing dodgeball. But you can still play video game dodgeball.
Come on, Joel, you got hurt. Or you pegged somebody. I see that face. You're like,
oh. I'm trying to repress the memories. Okay. This is just causing me a bad taste of cognitive dissonance right now.
Because I definitely pegged some people.
What kind of dodgeballs do you guys have, though? Like, I know we started with the big red rubber
the void
balls.
Ones. Mm-hmm.
And then they, about partway through my school, they moved on to, I think they called them like gator balls or something like that. And they were more like a thinner, lighter piece of rubber, but it was foam on the inside, so you could still like whip them really hard at people, mm-hmm. and it would make a smacking sound, but it wouldn't have that sting that those red balls had.
I made a girl cry with one of those.
Yep.
You always remember the first time you make a girl cry.
Yeah, it's true, and I didn't even throw it that hard. I like did the big wind up, and then I just kind of lobbed it, hit her, started bawling, ran off the court.
Yet he regrets it to this day.
No, I feel like a monster. But yeah, I could get behind a good dodgeball game. And if you're able to add it so that, you know, you could have 4 people, maybe more, playing at the same time. Yes. Hey, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm down with that too.
Well, that was The Grounds. All of these betas were provided by Gameheads. Again, a company that envisions a world where low-income youth and youth of color are equipped to thrive and succeed in any field they choose, including the tech and video game industry. So they definitely provide programs and opportunities for the youth to work on these on games like this and create and come up with these new ideas. And again, some of these, like all of these really, are different new ideas on the same base game that you've seen, you know, 1,000 times, but just turning it slightly on its head and giving you like that aha moment, like, yeah, this should be a thing. Why is this not a thing? Why is no one, I haven't thought of this. Why has no one else thought of that? So that was a good week for betas. Let's keep this train rolling. I do have like 4 more games lined up for next week, so be prepared.
Oh God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, we'll be right back. Thank you. show you my world premiere.
Oh yeah.
Dude, that voice was every couple of minutes for that Xbox.
Very, very distracting. Mm-hmm. I thought it was real unnecessary to keep doing it.
Yep.
I can't wait to watch this now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so with the news, we're going to focus on the three press conferences. The meh three.
The meh? What's the third one? Did I black out somewhere here?
No, I said two. I'm saying E3, the not E3 press conferences.
Three.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody should trademark or copyright that. Which one is that?
We can put it on a shirt. Getty, put it on a shirt.
Yeah.
Put it on a shirt?
Meh 3.
Meh 3? I thought we were going with 3.
You could do that too, and then just have a picture of you with like your hands raised. Like, I don't know.
Why has it got to be a picture of me if I'm going to wear the shirt?
Yeah.
It'll be even better. Well, that makes it better, because then like you can just take the picture of you every year of you holding a picture of yourself from the prior year, and then have it be like the endless loop of pictures of you holding.
Guys, I don't do that. Like, it's not. No,
we're going real meta with this.
Yeah. Time is a flat circle.
Okay, first we had a Nintendo Direct Mini, focusing just on a couple of things. The things that really stuck out to Getty and I were Cadence of Hyrule DLC, giving you new characters and new maps, new adventures. You get, I believe, like one of the ones that was Impa. You get Shadow Link. You can now play as that cool opera singing shopkeeper.
Okay.
I never played this, cool. So.
Oh, well, no. Yeah. I mean, if you've ever played, what was the original game?
Cryptid the Necrodancer.
No, I didn't play that either.
Yeah, that the shopkeeper was singing opera the entire time. It was pretty cool.
Did you guys ever pick up Cadence of Hyrule?
I did not. I want to.
Isn't it Same cheap here. On the eShop right now?
Is it?
I mean, it would make sense. Hold on.
You tell me, Getty.
I'll check. Okay. To the Switch.
Because that was one I was waiting for a sale, but I figured since it was a collaboration with the Nintendo that it would be notoriously stubborn about lowering in price.
I would think so, too.
That's Nintendo doesn't do that.
Okay, so then there was... this one might be... You might like this one, Joel. There is a new wrestling game coming to the Switch, and the reason why it's called WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Okay. And it's chibi characters, and they now have super moves.
Oh, yeah, this looks so ridiculously fun.
You'll see John Cena do a shuriken, a flaming shuriken. Yeah.
Chibi.
Yep.
Not like too obnoxiously so, but they definitely look cartoonish.
Okay. I can do cartoonish because like there was one on Wii that was like that that had all the old all-stars of WWE, like the Hulk Hogan's and the Ultimate Warrior and stuff. And that was just like over-exaggerated, you know, poppy color absurdism stuff. But if we're talking about like... you know, the final pocket Final Fantasy 15 or World of Final Fantasy chibi. That's my line, I think.
No, it's not that bad. But it's just interesting that you can see them like shooting fireballs and flaming pile drivers and stuff like that.
It's interesting that they're branching out beyond the Sim stuff for sure. And the mobile stuff at least.
Well, those games have been going very rapidly and steadily downhill. In a way that their sales have also continued to drop with it.
And that's a shame. Because there have been some really good games in the past. I remember pouring a lot of time into SmackDown back on the PlayStation 1 days.
Okay. That was the one.
That was like the first.
Yeah.
That was the first time where like you'd had the matches where you could like drag them off into the back of the... the back stage and like, you know, pick up items and just smash them all over the place and... Yeah, and all the different match types, and it probably plays like a wreck now, but it was a lot of fun back then.
Yeah, this one just kind of looks like it would be a fun party game to get three other friends and just duke it out in the ring.
It's weird that wrestling went into hardcore sim and then didn't do anything else to lead into you know, like the party stuff is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And they could have been doing this for years. So why is it that they didn't? And they're like, now is a good time to do it. Now more than ever.
Because there wasn't a Switch before, Alex.
I know.
You couldn't take it with you.
Yeah.
It's not like you had a GameCube that you could pick up and take to your friend's house.
Yeah, go to your rooftop party with Karen.
Yeah. No one I know at that age could afford a rooftop.
People our age can't afford rooftops.
Well, no, wait. I did know somebody. We used to have parties on their rooftop, but it wasn't legal, and it wasn't like accessible. We were on a top of a building because we used the fire escape ladder, and we ran an extension cord from her apartment up a floor and a half to the roof. It was dangerous for all involved.
Is this just the plot of How I Met Your Mother?
Cops came too.
Yeah,
they busted us for that one.
Halloween party on the roof. Yeah.
No, yeah. They said, "Is anybody else up there?" And we said, "Nope." And we closed the hatch, and there was like 10 people left up there for a while. Okay. Next part of the Nintendo Direct Mini. Shin Megami Tensei 3 and 5. 3 is the remake, and 5 is brand new, both coming 2021.
5 was announced like early in the Switch, I think. It's been years in development. This is a series that's a blind spot of mine, but it's a cousin to Persona, right?
Yes, they have... The Shin Megami Tensei series has expanded into so many different other games, each with their own kind of flavor and themes. So
it's like Pokemon versus Pokemon Mystery Dungeon versus Pokemon Quest versus Pokemon Snap.
I feel like some of those are too far spread out.
Yeah, because I think these were more turn-based like Persona.
Yeah.
But it was more that the characters were demons themselves. So it was
okay. So it's like Final Fantasy versus Final Fantasy Tactics versus Chocobo
Mystery Dungeon.
Dungeon.
No, get the dungeon stuff out of here.
No. There was two on 3DS that were dungeon crawler first person.
First person.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was supposed to be like the old school, like the really old school one.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there's Digital Devil Saga, Digital Devil Summoner, Persona, and then I think there was another one. But that series has been going on for a while.
Either way, my
brother has been a diehard fan forever.
They're doubling down on this pretty hard. Mm-hmm.
I was on the Persona subreddit after this, and everyone was like, "Persona's finally coming to Switch." Oh no.
Yeah. Don't worry, Rumble should be out. Eventually.
When was that supposed to come out?
It's already in Japan.
When was it supposed to come out for America?
Does anybody care what happens to America?
Me and Joel both wanted Rumble.
It's anarchy out there right now.
Scramble.
Scramble.
I would like to care about what's happening. So when do we get Jack Frost Mystery Dungeon?
I think that wasn't there... There was a Jack Frost platformer that was for browser that came out when
Persona 5. Wait, for real?
Yeah, it was free. It came out when Persona 5 came out.
There you go.
It was, no one announced it. All of a sudden it just appeared, and they're like, "Wait, Jack Frost is doing
it." And nobody told me?
Yeah.
You could have been playing it at work this whole time.
I know. Look what I've missed out. I have so much time to make up for.
Okay, so that was the Nintendo Direct Mini. Now,
World
the Xbox
premiere.
Conference. What was that?
World premiere.
Thank you. The Xbox conference was this afternoon, and kicking it hard with Halo Infinite, which now kind of has Destiny powers. Like the Sentinel shield you can drop. He throws out a shield, and it looks like the Sentinel shield.
It's... okay, so... The Halo always had like the really heavy punching. It always had like the obnoxious stuff that you could do. I'm not terribly surprised that they're adding some Destiny-esque stuff to it, but at
the
same time,
hook.
Yeah, I saw that I couldn't help but feel that, and this might just be my hot take on it, the graphics looked a little cartoony, more cartoony than I remember for Halo.
It looked almost cel-shaded in the beginning, the trailer.
Like, don't get me wrong, I was very impressed by the landscapes, the, you know, when he's going up in the elevator and how far he can see. But at the same time, like, it just looked a little bit too neat.
Yeah,
I would expect it to be a little bit more, I don't know, but maybe that's just my opinion now.
But also, like, Master Chief is now a new Chatty Cathy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
He's just talking up the storm.
Is he super quippy? Is he like a Marvel character quippy now?
No, he's still super serious, but it was more like he wanted to talk instead of like, shut up, die.
Oh, so Master Chief went to therapy. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't bottle up those feelings. You got to let them out.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chief.
Mr. Chef.
Mr. Chef.
Okay, we had a trailer for Rare's new game, Everwild. Looked cute, but, you know, very colorful, bright, and
what's going on in that game. Yeah.
But, yeah, there was nothing but just a straight, you know, CGI trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Nod's new game, the people who made Life is Strange, called Tell Me Why.
I'm not going to do it.
No. Yeah, no, we all went silent there for a reason.
Yeah. I'm not going to be that person.
I'm not going to be that guy either. Okay, so it looked interesting, full of drama, full of, you know, personal family, you know, kind of...
What Don't Nod does. Yeah.
Don't Nod doing what Don't Nod does.
Yep.
Doing what Don't Nod does best. There.
Yep.
I liked Life is Strange 1 a lot, and I even liked Before the Storm quite a bit, even though it didn't have the same novel time, you know, mechanic or time rewind mechanic stuff going on. I haven't gotten to 2 yet, so I'm behind.
because we were going to play it together, or we were going to play it at the same time, Joel, so
right.
You can blame me.
Then the world happened. But, like, they are ones... They have the same track with me that I had with Telltale for a while, where when they announce something, I'm interested because they hooked me with the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they are able to maintain that level of quality because, you know, I remember people complaining about the dialogue in Life is Strange 1 as being like grown-ups trying to write for kids. And I think the people who complained about that just haven't been around enough kids. Like that's how kids talk. Yeah. They did a good job.
No, there's no complaints here. I thought they do great. So next, Ori and Will of the Wisps, now with new technology.
Yep.
They're re-releasing Will of the Wisps with
more FPS,
more frame rate, more. What is it? Refresh rate.
Technology, Alex.
Refresh rate. They've added new technology to the audio, so you really hear every little echo and piece and technology that didn't exist before. They go into, this is technology that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. They showed people in the studio, like in the recording studio.
Like a Forza trailer, but it wasn't even a trailer. It was like 6 seconds of some dude holding a helmet.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all they need. That's all they need to show for those, you know, racing car porn games.
Well, I felt really bad because I watched the first half an hour of this, and they were like, one of the studios that always pushes the boundaries of the Xbox technology. Here's a look at Forza, and then it was like nothing. It's like, thanks for that. It was great.
I got nothing.
It's just hard. Mixed with all the world premiere that was up in my face.
Yeah. Okay. Next, Out of Worlds DLC.
They almost got that you.
I know. It looked funny. It had that kind of humor. It's a new map, new weapons, new what looks like new companions.
Yeah, it looks
like a lot was going on in there.
Looks pretty good. I would be interested to pick it up and give that a playthrough. I felt like the game itself, the base game, was not long enough.
Okay. I thought it was just long enough because those games wear me out real quick. Next, Obsidian has two new games as well. They have Avowed, a new big Skyrim-esque RPG.
Yeah, yeah, get to the other one.
Grounded.
Yes.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but with Fortnite building.
This is what I want.
It's literally like you are ant-like in size. And
And you're out in the backyard.
Waves of ants and insects and each other.
You got leaves. Building a house with leaves.
Yep.
See, my problem with Fortnite has always been trying to leverage shooting along with the building and the insane stuff that kids have figured out how to do multitasking with it. But if you split out the building part and turn it into like a weird, like, building your own civilization or town thing, maybe.
Yeah, that's what this is, or at least that's what it appears to be. It's not like you're running around and shooting and then building a house. This is like you're stuck in the backyard, go fight to survive, and then
it looks like a survival game, though there is shooting. They did have paperclip bow and arrows.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But it's cute like that.
Oh, so it is more like a cutesy kind of approachable family kind of look, or is it?
Yes.
Not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and this trailer really poked fun at itself, too. They were like, if you're looking for the biggest game of the year, then keep waiting for Cyberpunk. But we have the smallest game of the year. And I've already seen a couple of articles and things about this game, and it just really kind of has me hooked in. Now that I've played way too much Dragon Quest Builders 2, like I can definitely get down on this. Build myself a nice little leaf house in the backyard and then go out and try and survive.
So which one are you more excited for, this or Budsnax?
Oh, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
It's Budsnax.
What does that mean?
I'm on listen. Like, Joel, did you listen to the full Bugsnax song?
There's a full Bugsnax song.
It came out this week. I have listened to it 27 times. I've made Beth listen to it at least 4 times.
I'm, you know what? I think you're just telling me that if I listen to the whole Bugsnax song, I'll be activated into a secret agent for some special secret ops or something like that. I don't know.
Fact.
It's the Manchurian Candidate all over again, but with Bugsnax.
Yes.
You should listen to it. I'll send you a link. All right. Now, Getty, you know what you would be hyped on? Destiny 2 Beyond the Light.
Yeah, but it got delayed already.
Oh, really? When was it supposed to come out?
September.
How do you delay a game that's already out?
It's not the expansion content. Okay. Yeah.
And this is supposed to be the big one, Joel, where they give you a whole fourth tree and more planets and stuff.
More of the old content.
And they give Nathan Fillion a job back by introducing Cade 7.
Ooh,
okay. Maybe. It's always possible.
The real twist would be if they brought back Peter Dinklage, you know?
Ooh, see, that would be good.
That would be good. That would be good. And no, so, I don't need more Tetris Effect.
What about multiplayer?
I don't want to play with you.
Oh man, that's a hurt.
No, it's, you know, I don't usually refer to Giant Bomb here on much, but like I think some of the people on there named it right. Like the appeal of Tetris Effect is getting in the zone and letting sort of the environments, like you're not looking at the stuff in the background as impressive as it is, and it looks like a neat visualizer, but you're focusing on the tetrominoes, and then you're just letting sort of like the backdrops wash over you as you're playing it and getting into the zone. You know, I feel like it would detract for what's really neat about Tetris Effect. It's cool that it's coming to the new consoles, because I think it should be on anything, but generally, I could take or leave multiplayer on that game.
I think that's what would be fun, though, is that everybody just zoning out. There isn't... I think, see, though, that would be the part of the Tournament of Power for Extra Life, would be just playing Tetris Effect multiplayer, and it would only... Like, nobody would say a word except for the bystanders. You'd be like, this looks cool. And be like, shut up. Shut up, I'm on a roll. And just, like, zone out the entire time.
Yeah, I... See, you put it in that context, it's more appealing, but that's also just like, that's once a year.
Yeah. The Xbox conference, I forgot the word, I'll edit that out. Conference ended with a Fable teaser.
Yeah.
I never really got into that series too much, though. My ex in college loved that series.
I played the first one, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, but it's a pretty simple action RPG as well. Mm-hmm. The enjoyment out of it was just, you know, it not being too challenging, the different ways you could approach and level up your character, because there was like there was a ranged attack or bow and arrow you could use, or you had sword play, or you had magic. And then I think they also had like a good and evil perspective, like most original Xbox games. That was definitely a big thing back then. And it was one of those things where it felt like you could play it through a few times and have different experiences, even if the gameplay was still kind of samey.
100%. Yeah. I played all of them multiple times to try and get through the good and evil paths and to try the different approaches. Yeah. I would be interested to play it, but there was not really much that they showed off.
Oh, it was just a straight teaser trailer. It didn't show a character. It just showed a little bit of the world.
But I feel like
panned out.
That was a handful of the games for this conference. It was just like, here's something that exists. They did the same thing with Hellblade 2. They really didn't show much off. They were like, hey, we're making it. It's going to happen in Iceland.
Psychonauts. They're like, hey, we're making that one.
Yeah. Like, here's Jack Black. Now what?
And the other obvious part about this is that a lot of these games listed here are going to be multi-platform, or at least will be like a delayed timed release somewhere else, probably. So That is the problem I have with Microsoft in general, is just that their first party doesn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, Halo, I enjoyed one. I played Reach, and I enjoyed that quite a bit too. But the story never grabbed me, and it had always been the multiplayer with a friend from high school, you know, going to his basement and hanging out with our friends and playing, eating pizza and playing Battle.
Run each other over with the Warthog. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah, going to one of those indoor spaces and just having pistols and running around with them. And
hey, I'm playing it right now for the first time ever, and I ran myself over.
Yeah, yeah, that's half the fun. I mean, it's like when we played Borderlands at one time. You know, just, why do you think I did that? That's a muscle memory from Halo. so like, this is one of those things where, like, if I were new to gaming, or I had been out of the scene for a long time and I was thinking about, like, I want to jump in this generation, Xbox seems like a no-brainer because of all they're doing to try to entice people into their platform, and the fact that you don't necessarily have to dip the beefiest console of theirs to run a lot of the stuff with the Game Pass and the xCloud stuff. But for a big dork like me, who has preferences and tastes and certain tastes that I look for, like, they don't have the franchises yet for me.
Yeah, for me, it's the Game Pass and the ability to swap between Game Pass, whether you want to go PC and soon mobile and then the console. I mean, I do have the capabilities to... Like, my PC's right next to my TV, so swapping between my monitors to my TV is not a problem. But I can imagine in a bigger house, it would be nice to play Ori that I'm currently playing on Game Pass at my PC. But then, oh, no one's home. I'm going to put it on the big TV and just easily swap over on my Xbox.
The big TV.
The big TV.
That's a dad term.
Yep. But for now, that was the Xbox conference, Nintendo Switch mini conference, and also the end of my world premiere.
Nice.
Yep. So let's take a quick break and we will get into the backlog. Be right back. Back with the backlog vlog, where we play games we felt obligated to play. That's not true.
Yeah.
Getty felt that way.
I always feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Getty, you played Donut County.
I felt
that
obligated.
That should not be an obligation.
I feel
that
like...
should just be delightful.
I feel like you should have forced me to play it before now.
Why? Because you liked it so much?
Oh, it's so good.
Okay.
I absolutely love this game.
Oh my God, Joel, mm-hmm. You should play Donut County.
Is this on iOS?
Yes, but I believe it's everywhere.
It's
I think you got
okay.
it
everywhere.
On PlayStation, and then you said that you were waiting or something?
No, I never bought it. I saw it was on there. I think the little I've seen of this game, it is something I'd want on the Switch or on an iPad. Just something to be able to just have in my hand and dink around with.
Getty, tell us about your time with Donut County.
All right, so I don't know how much of the gameplay you know about, Joel, but I'm going to explain this to you in terrible detail. So you are a raccoon
mm-hmm.
named BK.
Yeah.
All right. And he's delivering donuts to people when they order it.
Mm-hmm.
And the donut is not food. It is instead okay. a hole in the ground. And you use that hole in the ground to eat the different things in the area, and the hole gets bigger. And as the levels go on, it's very simplistic to start. You just have to eat all the smaller things until it gets big enough so that you can capture the bigger items and drop them down into the center of the world. Now, as it goes on, they introduce more puzzles and different things where you can try and like catch a trailer on fire to get yourself a trophy or an achievement. Or one of my favorite mechanics that they have in it is that the hole will fill up with water. And you have to find one of those birds, one of the birds that dips its head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the water will disappear from it. And then it gets even crazier, and you get a catapult that is stationed inside of the hole at one point, and you'll have to like collect items and then shoot them back just to get other things to fall in.
The way you describe it, it kind of feels like a mix between Katamari Damacy and like What the Dolph. Because it sounds like it has a little bit of that, like, you are trying to consume everything you run across, mm-hmm. but also, like, clever little puzzles that you have to figure out.
Yeah.
Yes, but the levels are much smaller than you think. Mm-hmm. They're very... diorama kind of levels that are just like a scene.
Okay.
So you'll see a house and you'll see fences around, and there'll be a water tower, and the idea is you start with rocks and then you get the fences and then you get the house and then you get the water tower.
Yeah.
So gotcha. Each level roughly takes you about what, 5 minutes maybe?
About that. The ones with the puzzles take a little bit longer, but the real meat and potatoes of this game is the dialogue and how ridiculously funny it is. So they keep cutting back to the fact that everybody's trapped in the center of the earth in this giant hole. And BK is like trying to defend himself. And he's like, oh, all those snakes that were on your property, they were pretty bad. And the guy's like, yeah, I hate snakes. And he's like, oh,
whoever helped you out seems like a really good guy, but it's his fault that everybody's in the hole already.
It's one of those situations, Joel, that it's you already know the ending, and they're flashing backwards to like figure out like, how did we even get here? And it's like, well, I ordered a donut and then I end up down here.
Yeah.
And they keep like flashing back, and you're playing the story of what happened before. Mm-hmm. And every time it's just everyone going, stupid raccoon. He's like, what? You asked for a donut. I gave you one. You're welcome.
Yeah, I helped you guys. But the whole like joke of it is that BK is doing all this so that he can get a drone. Yeah.
He says, if I beat another level, I'll level up and then I'll get a drone. And they're like, well, what happens when you get a drone? He goes, I don't know. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like I need to pick this up.
Oh, you definitely need to pick it up.
This sounds like a feel good game.
It's pretty short. At the end, it shows you all the stuff you picked up, whether you picked up everything. And there's a cool song. Like, it sounds like a hip hop beat, but it's ducks quacking. And then it ends with just a sign that says, have a garbage day.
Yeah.
Because he's a raccoon.
Okay. Don't spoil any more surprises.
No, but when you play it, there's when you collect all of the things that fall in the hole, it opens up the Trashpedia, and you have to read each entry in the Trashpedia to truly get a feel for the joke of the game.
Okay, noted. I'll keep that
like
in
this,
mind.
It was on sale on Steam. I was like, Alex keeps talking about Donut County. I got to play this game. Worth every penny. I'll probably go back and play it again just because of how like mind-numbingly fun it is.
And yeah, just relaxing, feel good. The entire thing is fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds exactly what the doctor ordered for me right now. So I'll check that out.
The it's only I want to say it's 2-3 hours, but me and Steve did it in an afternoon, and then we got the platinum on PlayStation, and it is $13 on Switch.
Okay,
do it.
So that is Donut County. Next, Never Stop Sneaking. Never Stop Sneaking. It is a top-down espionage action game making fun of Metal Gear Solid every which way.
Okay.
Elaborate.
You are a super-duper secret spy who talks to a colonel via, you know, the transmission where you see the image of each other and you're talking with the text. And the colonel keeps talking to you in a way that it's pretty funny. Like, so he goes, you have to go on this mission. You have to get us a guy who's in charge of our guns. And you go, okay. But, I mean, we have guns, right? And he's like, yeah. But no one knows how to use them. Like, seriously, nobody. I don't know what we're doing. We all have just, like, holsters and nothing else. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go get the guy who's in charge of guns now. So they do that. They have an over-the-top theme song, Never Stop Sneaking, that, you know, is sung almost like Snake Eater, that same vein. And the way it works is it's like they took, you know, Metal Gear Solid and they made it so that you could do it with one hand, just with your thumb on the stick.
Really?
There's no buttons.
Hmm.
You're going through a facility, and if you move your character behind an enemy, you will automatically take them out. They have vision cones. Then, if you get in their vision cone, if you have collected an item that is just a bullet, you will automatically shoot them.
You know, I could see that working.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, like, you almost turn it into a more of an arcade game that way, kind of. Like, you simplify it down enough that way where it's just all about timing of that one movement.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's 100% that, just an arcade game. So, yeah, it's an arcade-y. And it's meant as almost like a time waster because you go through, want to say, 4 levels, right? Then it ends, and it goes, oh, you got the guy who's in charge of guns. Now we need, we should probably get the guy who can make us a nuke, just because we have no idea what we're doing and these instructions are in French. So it's like, okay. And you have to go and do the same thing, but now it's 6 levels.
Mm-hmm.
But it, again, there isn't a whole, there isn't any variation really. They add turrets, but the turrets are just like stationary vision cones. Cameras, they're just stationary, you know, vision cones, and you just move around them. And if you get seen by the turrets, you have an EMP item you can get that will just shoot an EMP and destroy the turrets. It's very, very simple. And at the end of the set of levels, you will have a boss. But there's only, I want to say, 4 bosses. So you repeat the same process over and over. So it is just kind of a time waster of watching the text, going through 4, 6, 12, you know, 18 levels, mm-hmm. fight the same kind of bosses each time, and then it's like, oh, more story. The idea is that the mastermind villain has gone and back in time and kidnapped the president. Which one? All of them.
That's so obnoxious. So brilliant.
Yeah.
And I can think of a few that they can keep.
And so it's just kind of meant as like a fun little time waster. The issue I have with that is I'm probably around 13 hours in.
Oh, wow. That's pretty long for something that straightforward and repetitive.
Yeah, but I mean, on the other side of that, I've been playing this game since it was it kind of came out pretty close to when the Switch came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of just been every once in a while, just flip it on and do a couple stages and then just like turn it off again for like 4 months.
Okay. It's an itch scratcher game. It's one of those things where you just like, okay, I feel like doing a little bit of this, and then you put it down and then remember like a week or two later, oh yeah, let's do a little more of this.
It's when, you know, my partner wants to watch a TV show, but she kind of wants to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
Kind of wants me to pay attention. And it's like, okay, I will have to pay attention to the show. And this way, I only legitimately need one hand. One hand holding up the Switch, and I'm just using. And you know what? The best
sure,
part,
your,
they made
your partner,
it so
simple. Your partner, Alex. Yeah, I understand
what made it. What made it so simple is that it's either Joy-Con. It's either Joy-Con. Both of them can control the character. I can go from the left or I can go from the right. If my hand's cramping on the right, I swap to the left, and now it's
God,
only
this
using
sounds
the stick.
So bad.
The stranger.
I only need one hand, guys. I only need my hand's cramping. Move to the other one. Yeah.
Just saying that the game is very simplified, and
Alex's variant to Tantric Sneaky.
Yeah.
Dude, you gotta never stop sneaking. Never. Never.
Never stop never sneaking.
Yes. But it's funny. That's what I'm there for, is I'm there for the humor, I'm there for the jokes, the Metal Gear Solid jokes throughout the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After that, it's mind numbing. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the backlog blog. We made it through. Let's move on to one last thing. One last thing where we do one last sentence, one last statement, sending us into the weekday, the weekend.
Yeah.
You, the listener, into the weekday.
There you go.
I'm all over the place today. For me, Ori and the Will of the Wisps is a delightful game. It's also hell. Joel?
I got nothing. This today is the first day I've really been plugged back into anything gaming for like the last week and a half. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting into Rock of Ages 3 and the shiny new copy of Nowhere Prophet on Switch. I'm really eager to get into some more card battling caravans.
I'm jelly that you got the code because I have it. I bought it and it's sitting there on my Switch. I'm just mm-hmm. waiting for it to let me in.
Mm-hmm.
Getty?
Happily report that I platinumed Persona 5 Royal, and I already miss it. So I had to start playing Indivisible.
That's also on Game Pass. Though I looked at the platinum, because you had said, you're like, it's not that hard, Alex.
It's not.
Like, no, this is ridiculous. I think it was harder on the original.
It was.
So, looking at the Persona 5 Royal Platinum, I definitely think it's something
fun,
that I can do.
Fun anecdote about this week. I'm going to drag Alex through the mud here. So I get a text the other day, and he's like, man, I can't find the job for the beef shop in Persona 5. And I was like, yeah, it's there. And he's like, no, man, it's not here. So we go back and forth on text for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, fine, I'll look it up. Because I knew that the shop wasn't called like Beef Shop. Because it wouldn't be named Beef Shop. And I got him the name of the actual store that he could work at.
But the funnier part is that every guide, every single online guide was like, yeah, you just need to work at the Beef Bowl Shop. It's the Beef Bowl Shop.
Yeah, and I'm sure in Japanese it translates to Beef Bowl Shop.
It was very frustrating, let me tell you.
It was frustrating for you. It was frustrating for me because I'm sitting there like, ha, Alex is out of his mind.
That is exactly like there would be times in the past where Kelly would be home with the kids because over the summer she's a teacher, so she's off, so she's, you know, watching them a couple days where they're not in like a white MCA camp or something. And I would get texts like, how do I turn on the video games for them? Or then I would be sitting there trying to do like a step-by-step instruction via text message while I was trying to get work done. It's like, okay, well, first you find the remote and then you have to hit the power button and then go to this input. And it was just like, that is the worst thing in the world, trying to explain something to somebody over text message.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joel. I have printed out instructions for Beth. That is on the Not a joke. She knows how to play. She knows how to play Animal Crossing now. She can do it all herself. It's all on the instructions.
Yep. Well, you know, that's just you know, they compliment us in other ways. they make up for our deficiencies in other parts of our life. So.
And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where, Getty, you still going with Mellow Monday?
Yep. You know
it. Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said it too mellow.
Oh, okay. Is it too deep and it just cuts off my voice?
Yep.
All right.
The return of 2D Tuesdays, Coffee and Chrono Trigger with Kelly and Joel.
Yeah, Kelly's sort of getting the hang of Chrono Trigger now. Needed a little bit of help with the sort of like a dinosaur tank boss. Is that what it was at the beginning? Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where like starting to pick up the logic of you need to prepare and then you need to equip stuff and then you make sure and get plenty of save points and we just need to work a little bit more on the coordinating attacks. Well, I think we'll get there.
Impressive. We have Keeping It Together Thursdays with Kevin and Sam, currently going. Metal Gear Fridays with Kevin. Kingdom Hearts Saturdays?
Yeah.
Joel?
Yeah. Yep.
You got something you want to tell the class?
Kelly really likes what she's played of Kingdom Hearts, but it's been so long since we touched it, and we're all on top of each other inside in this new world we're in. And so the best thing that we can do is stay busy, and we're going to start from the beginning for Kingdom Hearts 1. We also have 2 and 3 with us here, so we might try to power through all of it. We'll see.
You have to watch that entire intro movie.
Yes, all of them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Deal.
I mean, that's going to get us a copyright strike on YouTube, but it'll be far worth it.
Well, don't worry. For the second one, I'm pretty sure that that's long enough to end a marriage.
So you're saying I shouldn't play it?
I'm not going to live your life for you. Just know that that title screen doesn't come for like 45 minutes after you think it's going to.
Oh, yeah. God, it's like a Metal Gear Solid scene.
Or Persona. So, Magic the Gathering Sundays and Wild Redemption with Kevin during the week. That's a lot of streams, and I was saying that I don't have any streams. Maybe I'll do Wednesday, but then that would be every day. I'm okay not streaming. Plus, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be furloughed, so I'm probably just going to stream like a 6-hour stream one day.
Yeah.
I think they call that fun employment.
Yeah.
Yep. If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com and provide a review on iTunes or the Metal Gear Kevin makeup tutorial of your choice. Thanks for listening. GG Joel.
Good game.
GG Getty.
Good game.
Good night, everybody.